Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen!
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
You know what I'm saying? My homie J Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
All you had to do was listen to your Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black me. Holler.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
Thursday, April 28th, 2011. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morrison. With me, as always, is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric? Eric.
Yeah, Jay. Sorry about that. Yeah, I muted the microphone and started talking. Had like a few sentences until I hear Eric. Eric. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, oh, shit.
Starting off on the right foot. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah, it's good to be back, another week, another great week, and a lot of shit we need to talk about, and a lot of shit we need to get angry about with WWE and all types of shit.
Sure, sure. So, we'll probably start off with WWE talk. We have a good amount of that to talk about. What was it I wanted to... Yeah, well, I mean, they definitely, you know, with the draft and, you know, we really didn't do any talk about anything last week. You know, we did our Larry Sweeney tribute that I hope people enjoyed out there.
We had a shitload of archive listening. A huge archive.
Right. It's good to hear. You know, I hope people did enjoy it. We did the best we could on, you know, pretty short notice, but, you know. Yeah, I hope some people enjoy what we tried to do. For all of you that, you know, are in the chat room and everything and might be listening live, to let you know, I'm blind to the chat room because I'm outside in front of a fire tonight. So as you know, if you've been here before, you know, hit Eric up and he'll relay whatever message to me and, you know, we'll definitely discuss anything you want to bring up on the show. So with that being said, WWE, well, something that happened not this week, the past week, that's getting a lot of heat online and a lot of people are talking a lot of different stuff about is the Truth's heel turn. Now, I see 90% negative on the internet about this, and I got to be honest, I really, really liked it. I just thought it went a really good way to turn him as like a crazy heel. I was kind of surprised that Morrison wasn't drafted to SmackDown because the way that they built it up really had Morrison come off like a douchebag, kind of forcing R-Truth to turn heel. So it was kind of almost like a double heel turn, but then they ended up just keeping Morrison face, I guess. It was kind of weird because, you know, he came out there and he started ripping him apart and telling him, oh, well, you got the title shot coming up, but looked like you were winded last match, and remember when you drank that water and, you know, he's pulling clips up and, oh, yeah, you're still smoking, aren't you? You know, that type of shit. And he was really, like, getting on his shit and, you know, taking him down off his pedestal, you know, as far as the dude having a title shot coming up. So it wasn't like Truth just turned on a guy that was his perfect partner that was doing everything good. He turned on a guy that was being a clear douchebag. And, well, it first went into him tricking him into making him put his title match on the line. So, of course, R-Truth loses his title match. You know, he loses his spot on the pay-per-view. So then he snaps, and he's lighting a cigarette on TV, which to me is fantastic. I mean, not like I'm a, you know, huge smoking advocate or anything, but it's just like a really cool bad guy thing to do. You know, as far as a PG company, having a guy light a cigarette on TV, that's, to me, unheard of. And I still stick by my statement in saying that I think that they're getting away from that PG a little bit. Because you see a few things that shine, you see a few things that shine through here and there that really make you say, you know what, I don't think that that's completely kid-based. Like, and again, I don't have a problem in the world with it. I'm actually really, really glad that they're doing some a little edgier things. So, but yeah, the whole thing he did, you know, he running knees to Morrison like 2 or 3 times in a row and then pick him up and then smiling and saying, you made me do it, and then hitting him again, and he just looked nuts. And I think he followed it up with, you know, another pretty heelish promo this past Monday. His reactions, his facial reactions, every time that the crowd went, what, after one sentence, priceless. To me, I mean, that's perfect shit to me. He looked so fucking annoyed and pissed off that they would say what after every sentence, and it was just really, really good facial expressions and good acting by R-Truth. I'm a fan of it. He needed a push, and he needed something different to get him there. And I think this is it. I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
I think you're right. I mean, he definitely needed something. You know, and I honestly, my only problem with R-Truth and the whole character, it was when they changed his song. Remember that when they changed his song, it wasn't What's Up anymore. It was that other stupid song.
But I think they changed it back, and then he was back to getting the reaction. They did change it back.
Right, because... But at first it was kind of like, what the hell? I mean, if that would have been where they could have made him turn heel, that would have been all right. But
not really sure if he's using the What's Up now, is he?
I don't think so.
Chances are he switched off that again, because it was getting a huge crowd reaction, so it's only right to switch off of that so you're not getting people, you know, following you when you're clearly trying to flip them off.
You know what would be hilarious, though, if he came out to that song and he tried to get, like them to say what's up, and then as soon as he, like, you know, when the crowd's supposed to do it, and then he has the microphone, and he just says it himself, what's up, you know what I mean? Like, he just, because that'd be kind of a dick move to do for him,
kind of a remix on it, you know, tell the fans to shut up instead of what's up or something like that, like Kurt Angle did with the, you know, the You Suck during his, you know, his heel entrances and stuff like that. I mean, that to me would make sense because, you know, but it's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. By the way, chat room is a buzzing right now, and it's not wrestling related. It's Nicole and Nina talking about some dancing thing. I don't even know what the hell that is, but
I don't either. Speaking of dancing, Jericho did get booted off of Dancing with the Stars, for those that give a shit.
Yeah, I wonder how pissed people are.
Right. So again, you know, with the WWE return rumors, will start immediately.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody will when's he coming back? When's he coming back? So we'll see. You know.
What do you think?
Well, you know, Jericho has always had a very, very free schedule. He's been able to go on tour with his band. He's been able to join the Dancing with Stars. He's been able to do a lot of things where he took time off. So chances are everything's in Jericho's hands as far as what he really feels like doing. You know, I definitely think Jericho will be back.
All right. Yeah. Apparently they're talking about American Idol.
Oh. All right.
And they're really pissed off. They're really pissed off that about somebody getting eliminated.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, they do eliminate people every week, so it's bound to happen. You know? I'm still not over M-Dog getting eliminated off of Tough Enough, so, you know, I feel your pain. You know, off of that, like I said, the draft, and I think, I don't know what the best way to do this is.
I have the regular selections that were made on TV, and I have the supplemental too.
I have it all down as well.
And I have I have some stuff about each one if you want me to do that.
More or less, I want to hit the one of the main topics about it. To me, one of the stupidest fucking things they could have ever done. And that is waste two draft picks on John Cena. starting off the show, we draft John Cena to SmackDown. Everyone goes, oh, my God, fucking really? Like, no fucking way. And, like, I honestly was shocked because I really didn't think that they would move him to SmackDown for 1 second. So, you know, you get towards the end of the show, then all of a sudden, oh, Raw got a draft pick. They drafted John Cena, and I'm just like, you know, why fucking do that? Like, seriously, just leave John Cena where the fuck he is. Move a couple people around that's going to actually change the brand. Like, really, what kind of impact overall do you make by moving them back and forth in one night and going, okay, nothing changed? It's just so fucking stupid.
Definitely fucking stupid. And how about this? How about this move? You ready?
Yeah.
The Big Show getting drafted again. It seems like every year he gets drafted somewhere.
Yeah. They need to draft him to another country is what they really need to do. And let him go choke some terrorists or something, you know? Choke slam some terrorists. Be a knucklehead on someone else's turf. More or less... The main drafts were Randy Orton going to SmackDown, which I really, really predicted, as well as, you know, a few other people out there definitely predicted as well. SmackDown is always, for a while, has been the B show. They're really in need of some big stars to go over there. So there's a few ways to look at things when you see a guy drafted left or right. You could say, well, you get drafted to SmackDown, it could be because they don't want you on Raw anymore, and that's the big spotlight show, which in some of these people's cases that were drafted, I believe that's 100% true. Some of them weren't even being used on Raw anymore because they didn't want to use them. So at least maybe they'll get some TV time on SmackDown, maybe get some shit going for themselves. But other guys, like the Randy Ortons, I really believe was to boost SmackDown's viewership and try to get a big name over there. I also think it's a good idea, a good way to break off the CM Punk-Randy Orton feud, because it seems like there's really not going to be an easy end or an easy out to it. They have another match at this Sunday pay-per-view, the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, and, you know, after that, they go their separate ways and, you know, clash here and there, but it's not going to be every week the same two guys looking at each other that don't know how to end a storyline, so... You know, that to me was a good move. A guy who I think more or less got the quote-unquote promotion to bring himself, you know, to get himself over to Raw, I think was Alberto Del Rio.
It's
messed up the way it went because, I've been really, really hoping for a Sin Cara, Evan Bourne match. And maybe even like a feud, you know, a series of matches between these guys. Well, that didn't happen yet. So as soon as I saw Sin Cara drafted to SmackDown, I'm like, motherfucker. First words after that was, well, at least he'll be able to click up with Alberto Del Rio, who, you know, he had worked quite a bit, you know, in Mexico. I believe they worked in Mexico quite a bit.
Yeah.
They definitely know each other well. this is going to be a great chemistry match. The big high-flying face, you know, super athlete, spot master guy against the super heel who does very good technical work and will keep the match real tight, you know. So, of course, later in the night, after my extreme explanation of what we're left with, Alberto Del Rio drafted the Raw. You motherfucker. Are you fucking kidding me? And a lot of people felt the same way about Rey Mysterio, where they were like, finally, you know, Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara are going to hook up. Well, Rey Mysterio to Raw. So, you know, they do a lot of, I guess, inner brand matches. So it's not like it'll never happen. I mean, they match up guys from different brands on pay-per-views all the time. So none of this stuff is out of the question. I just wanted to see a lot more of it, you know. So, and like you said, Big Show moved over to Raw. I don't know what for, man. I think Big Show is more or less on his last run. You're only going to see so much more of this guy on TV. I mean, he gets his movies here and there. Got a few things going on, but honestly, you know, like a lot of other people have said in the past, you don't see too many seven-footers that live to 70, 80 years old. And Big Show, last I checked, was a fucking chain smoker. I don't know if he's quit since, but I know even, you know, back WCW days as the Giant, I mean, he saw him at a convention, and the guy could not put cigarettes down for 2 seconds to sign an autograph. He's fucking, you know, very friendly guy, but he's fucking just blowing fucking smoke in kids' faces as he's shaking their hands. I mean, he was a fucking wreck with the cigarettes. He was nonstop, cigarette after cigarette. I mean, no sooner did he put one out was he lighting another one. I mean, he's definitely a chain smoker, and that's can't be good at his size, as well as, you know, all normal, you know, heart problems and different things that people of his size normally do encounter. So, I would imagine he's going to probably call it quits within the next few years.
Right.
So, this is probably just to keep him in the spotlight for now, you know, at least to give him some kind of, I guess, last run, you can call it. But at least more or less to put him in the main scene. You know, if you have a really long career and then fade out on the B show, it's really a shitty way to go out. So, and you could even look at Ray the same way. Because I've heard a lot about Ray, you know, with his injuries that have built up over the years that he only has so long in him, you know.
Right.
I mean, even though his face looks like a 15-year-old kid and always will, yeah, that's just his genetics. It's, you know, not what really goes on. And he has had a very long career and a lot of injuries, definitely a lot of injuries. Knee injuries and different things that keep a high flyer and a Lucha Libre wrestler from doing what they do best, so I would imagine that he only got so long with him, too, so they put him over there probably for that reason. So, what other big moves? Well, you know, the supplemental stuff. Yeah, they moved Alex Riley, I think, was a pretty big thing because now The Miz doesn't have his bitch anymore. So Alex Riley gets to actually have his identity, which I think is a jock dick, like, you know, like a jerk-off football player that picks on the nerdy kids. Like, that seems like his role, you know what I mean? So he gets to do that role and see how far he can go with it and do, you know, what he wants to do. So I think he's actually going to be, in the long run, as long as he doesn't get hurt or offend anyone backstage, I think in the long run he'll probably be a bigger name than Miz is when everything's said and done. So he can only stay at Miz's side at his beck and call for so long, you know, so it's probably a good thing for him. Who else? Well, definitely a big favorite of mine, you know, over there on that company, Daniel Bryan.
Got moved to SmackDown.
Yeah, he got moved to SmackDown. This is a guy that, you know, tremendously talented, but unfortunately he also hasn't been getting much reaction. He'd walked out there with the title and you'd hear crickets. And
yeah,
he'd work a hard fucking match. He'd bang out with Sheamus. He'd have fucking crazy matches. And for whatever reason, the crowd just isn't into it. I think it's a lack of gimmick. Something's missing. But I fear that if things aren't working well on SmackDown, you might not see Daniel Bryan that much anymore. He may fade away, which I would hate to see, but this is one of those things where...
Or he could turn into maybe like a, you know, go back to Florida, go into Florida Championship Wrestling and think of a character for him there.
Yeah, but that's kind of a terrible thing to do. I mean, that's getting sent back to the minors. You really don't want to fucking do that after being there, you know, for a while. That's probably one of the last things you want to hear is we're sending you back to developmental, you know, especially when you're a guy who's a 10-year veteran like him and, you know, 10-plus years.
10 years on the indies, Jay, you know what I mean?
That doesn't make any difference to me. You know, to say that, you know, M-Dog is a 10-year veteran on the indies and isn't good enough or tough enough and goes home before Miss USA. No, I don't buy that. Sorry. I can't deal with that. So I think if you're experienced enough as a wrestler where you're known as one of the best technical wrestlers in whatever genre, whatever area, whatever scene, I definitely don't think you're inexperienced and need to prove a lot just because this is WWE. I think that's just a crazy way of thinking. Sure, Vince and, you know, those guys over there, I do believe they think that way, but I don't think that's right.
Right.
No.
Did you see that Natalya got moved to SmackDown?
Yeah, which, again, I'm not a huge fan of that. I mean, I guess they got to move someone somewhere. They did move Beth Phoenix to Raw, which is a good thing. With Kong coming in or Karma coming in soon, you're going to need somebody big and tough to deal with her. And, I mean, the first two names to come to hand is Beth Phoenix and is Natalya. So I guess, yeah, maybe you don't want to have them both in the same place and let Natalya be a further down the road thing and let her build herself on the other brand and let them collide at some kind of epic showdown.
Right.
And honestly, I was talking to someone last night online about it, and, you know, we were talking about the different ways that Karma could go. And I think the best way possible is she comes in like Goldberg, like Brock Lesnar. Like, they're building the promos right now. You know, for those of you who haven't seen it, there's several different dolls, like little dolls, and she'll be laughing, and you'll watch her hold the doll and stroke its hair and then just pop its head off and laugh maniacally. And that's more or less what they're going with off of that. And I think that's a great thing. I'm so fucking excited to see this. If she comes in there and squashes these bitches for a couple months, just every week just annihilates bitches that aren't doing shit, and then someone like a Beth Phoenix steps in to be the big feud, her first feud, the one to stop the railroad, the Kevin Nash that stops the Goldberg, that type of shit.
Right. But what happens when Karma goes through everybody?
Well, she runs into a Beth Phoenix. She runs into that type of person.
But what if she beats Beth Phoenix? What if she runs through everybody?
Well, it's called booking. So, I mean, if they book it right, they can
Right. But I'm saying they could do that with her and make her one of the most dominant females ever, you know, if that's what they want to do with her. I mean, her size shows that she can be dominant. So it would be believable. It wouldn't be like if they're booking Kelly to be a fucking dominant fucking, oh, Kelly going to be the dominant woman, beat everybody, even go on the indies and beat everybody on the indies. You know what I mean?
No,
nobody would believe that shit.
No. Kong, you know, Karma is a very, very credible person to be squashing some of these chicks that have pretty much no talent and are just space fillers on the women's division. On that note, they moved Kelly to Raw, so fucking,
right.
You better do some fucking neck exercises, because you're going to be fucking getting caught in it. She's going to be clubbing you in the neck, and it's something I'm looking forward to pretty much, though. So,
I wonder what they're going to tell her, like, before matches, like, tell her, hey, don't hurt our girls. Our girls are beautiful.
No,
you know?
I hope they whisper in her ear, they said something about your mama. You know? Or,
yeah,
hey, this girl, she's a big Bubba the Love Sponge fan. That type of thing, you know?
Oh, my God.
This girl out there in the ring, she fucking hates Haiti. That type of thing, you know? And let her just go out there and fucking end some of these chicks. Like, if they have any chicks that they're about to release, Alicia Fox, send her the
Hell
fuck
yeah.
out there to just destroy her. They have another Alicia Fox already in the Tough Enough. That's her sister.
Christina Crawford, right?
Yeah, that's her sister. So they have two of them. You know, it's kind of like that old Doritos thing where they're like, crunch all you want, we'll make more. You know, like, we'll just, you know, same thing, Kong, crunch all you want, we'll make more. You know, it's simple as that.
Yeah.
So
I'm
really looking
anyway.
Forward to her coming in. I hope she goes on a couple-month tear where she's just an unstoppable machine, because those type of things don't come around that often in the female division at all.
Right.
And, I mean, Beth Phoenix went on a pretty big tear when she came in. But, I think that's the right thing to do with her character. Then you have her go, you know, in a back-and-forth feud with Beth Phoenix. I mean, she could definitely work the smaller, you know, girls as well. Like, she did some good work with Gail Kim in TNA. So I believe that you will see that rekindled, and it might be the big push that Gail Kim needs to actually get treated like, you know, talent in that company, because she really hasn't gotten a lot of exposure since she came over there, you know, came back over there.
The only thing I don't understand is that they broke up Tamina and Santino.
I don't think that matters.
And they broke up Daniel Bryan. They broke up Daniel Bryan and Gail Kim too.
Yeah, but they don't give a shit about Daniel Bryan. I mean, you got to understand that. Like I said, if this guy doesn't start getting reaction over on SmackDown, he's gonna get released or sent back to Florida, and that's not a good fucking thing. So that's more or less what they're doing. I think they're testing the water. He's either gonna make a big impact on a smaller show, or he's going to make the same no impact, and they'll just phase him out. It's a shame, but, yeah, they definitely don't care about whoever they tried to attach to him to get him over, because it didn't work.
All right. No, man, I can't believe that they would actually release him after they brought him back and they did a... Oh, my gosh, that would piss me the fuck off.
Oh, they'll release
really
anybody. Nobody's fucking safe.
Except for Triple H.
No, he's going to be the boss in that company in that time. Married. He's a made man. You can't get rid of a made man.
And only marriage did that to him. Marriage did that to him.
Right. A couple guys that got drafted to Raw that I didn't even know were still employed there in Kurt Hawkins and. Chris Masters,
exactly.
I sure shit didn't know he still worked there.
He'll probably be released real soon. How about Great Khali?
Yeah, I don't know how they miss cutting him every fucking time, because he's so huge that, I mean, it's not like you don't notice the guy standing there wasting your fucking money every week. If you can just get wrestlers to stand in front of a tree and then cut the limb and let it hit him in the head, that's pretty much the equivalent of what Khali does. He just throws that chop. It's just like a small tree limb hitting you in the head. And then he kind of like limps his big fucking genetically disorder having ass to the back, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's a giant, but he's not a functional man. Like, he walks with such awkwardness. It's definitely a handicap. It's a freakish fucking handicap that he just barely gets the fuck out there.
Right.
And it's like physical therapy. Can you put your hand straight, sir? Okay. Can you bring your shoulder down a little? Okay, there's your move. Can you lift your leg a little bit? Okay, there's your other move. Can you raise your arms in the air and yell something completely unrecognizable to the human language, and then walk to the back? All right, buddy, you're on your way.
Sounds like CCW. Wow.
I don't know about all that.
Whoa.
Where the fuck did that come from? Another big move to Raw is Kofi Kingston. I'm really glad to see Kofi move over to Raw. I hope he gets more exposure. He's a great talent. So I'd like to see him mix it up with some of the guys over there and maybe get some kind of serious push.
Well, let's be real with each other. You know, he's close to getting released, too.
I don't know. I don't know who the fuck he pissed off because he was on a serious tear. He had a serious push. They were doing a lot of big things with him. I think he had the IC title or something like that. Then all of a sudden, like the elevator cord got cut. And he just dropped to the bottom floor. And they just demoted the shit out of him. I really don't know what happened.
He had the Intercontinental title, and then they fucking had him lose it to McIntyre. And then they had him win it back, and then they had him lose it again.
Right. There's a guy that I cannot wait until he's released. Drew McIntyre. I cannot wait until he's released. And sitting at home with his also jobless fucking girlfriend.
Who's his girlfriend, Tiffany?
Yeah. She was released a while ago.
Good.
She, you know, had gotten arrested the one time for beating him up. And, he's a hell of a guy. He's one tough son of a bitch. I mean, not that he should just go whoop her fucking ass or anything like that, but, you know, when it goes down on the news reports that you got your ass kicked by your girlfriend and I'm supposed to take you seriously as a wrestler, I don't know, man. You should work on cardio or something and just outrun her or something. Just don't get beat down. Like, fucking just run around the block, fucking take your car, fucking get the fuck out of there or something, man.
The only problem I have with that is that he's getting no reaction. He got no reaction since he came in WWE. I mean, the crowd is just dead like a fucking, like, you could drop a pin. You could drop
a pin. Who's that, McIntyre?
Yeah, you could drop a pin in the fucking arena if you can't shit. He's not a piece of shit. He's not a piece of shit. What has he done for you, to you?
Nothing. He's done nothing for me.
He's done nothing for Vince either.
Right, so he's a piece of shit. I'd rather give Tyler Rex a chance, who's going over to Raw as well, and see what the fuck he's worth. They tried to build him up when he first came in. They tried to make him like a big deal when he came in, and then they kept him on a low fucking caliber, and they were pushing fucking McIntyre while his girlfriend was beating him up. And, you know, why not give this fucking guy somewhat of a half a fucking push and see what he could do with it? If he don't fucking survive, get rid of him too.
Right.
I'm not like completely behind that guy neither. I'm just saying, guys like that haven't gotten a fucking chance, really. They don't know what to do with him, and then
They have all these jobbers, but yet they won't sign Sami Callihan. They won't sign Chris Hero. They won't sign Claudio Castagnoli. But they'll sign Tyler Rex and Kurt Hawkins.
And that's what I say. Hey, you want to know what goes on when Karma runs through half of the fucking females? Oh, feed her Drew McIntyre. The Kong is much tougher than the chick that beat him up, so she'll definitely take his ass out. You know?
Yeah,
and then you can
say,
I don't. What title was fucking McIntyre holding? The IC?
Yeah,
he was holding the IC belt, right?
Yeah, for like a week.
Right, so you can say, Karma just took out the former Intercontinental Champion like he was nothing. You know, like, it, again, builds Karma up more and then releases it. Who gives a shit?
Right.
You know, use these guys for what they're worth before you cut their fucking contract. That's what I said.
Wait a minute.
Swagger's going to Raw, too.
Oh. Nina posted Kong eats gingers for breakfast.
Gingers?
Really? She said that McIntyre is a ginger, right? Like color-wise.
No. Oh. He has dark hair and a ponytail, like brown hair and a ponytail, and he's built like his girlfriend. And that's pretty much him. He looks like Frankie Kazarian on Slim Fast. Jack Swagger's moving to Raw as well, which could be a good thing for Mr. Swagger.
With
if he
can
only fix the lisp, that would be really good for him. He sounds like the Randall guy from, that we play the animal videos from. Randall Swagger. Yeah.
Randall Swagger. I'm a WWE champion. I'm a WWE. Yeah, fuck that shit. How about good old Jim Ross being coming back?
Yeah. He actually broke his hand hitting Cole. I just read that today.
Really?
Yeah, the one punch you hit him with, and you seen him, you seen Cole with a busted lip, and you saw at the end of the clip before they went to commercial, you saw Jim Ross showing King his hand and shit, and his hand was bleeding. Well, I just read today on the internet that yeah, he actually broke his hand.
He must have fucking swung and hit him really fucking hard.
Well, no, I mean he's. How old is this fucking guy? He's got to have brittle bones and shit. He ain't supposed to be hitting people at that fucking age.
Right, right.
Half his fucking face is paralyzed. You shouldn't be hitting people. What the fuck is wrong with you? You know?
Nina just said, see, I can't remember who people are because Jay fast forward through everything.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up when the shit's moving at like, what is it, 30 times the fucking normal speed?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll stop there in the commercials just to disrespect WWE a little bit more. Like, watch the commercials, fast forward to the rest of the show, you know? Fucking rub it in. So, more or less, those are the big moves. I mean, you had, you know, your Ted DiBiase Jr.'s, your Tyson Kidd's, these type of guys who will probably all be released. And I don't know if I mentioned, but speaking of gingers, Sheamus is going to SmackDown. That's another big, big fucking name going to SmackDown. So, I honestly, you know, a few of these moves are definitely going to make me tune into SmackDown more because most of the weeks I don't even watch it. There's just not enough there. So I will tune in and I'll fast forward through SmackDown as well. So good job, WWE. You know?
Everybody sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
boring.
So, that's not a JTG's going to Raw to get released and squashed by Karma. And the Usos are going to SmackDown to be released. And William Regal is going to SmackDown. Yoshitatsu. You know. More or less,
they'll keep him around. They'll keep Regal and Tatsu around.
I hope so. Regal, yeah, he should at least be able to finish out his career there. And I hope Tatsu is actually able to do something that's worthwhile before, you know, they cut him the fuck off. Because they honestly don't like fucking Asian people very much. I mean, look at the runs of Asian people in the WWE. What are we going to go with? You know, Kung Fu Naki? And Taka Michinoku. Let's talk about how fucking hard they squashed the shit out of those guys in the company. So, not good. You know, those guys fucking combined must have fucking ate like 15 F5s each. You know, just kind of fucking brutal. They clearly do not favor the Japanese wrestlers. Yeah, I mean, there's been so many monumental guys that they could have brought in over the years, even if it was a one-shot WrestleMania deal, and they really don't work with them. They just really don't. Which I'll talk about in a little bit about the NJPW. We've got the New Japan coming in to the East Coast, and it's going to be substantial. I cannot wait, but I'm not going to get into that just yet. But what I can say is, you know, as far as WWE goes and, like, what I just said of, you know, missed opportunities and things, I have a new theory on who Undertaker's 20th WrestleMania will be, and that theory, I think, is Stone Cold Steve Austin. he's made too many rumblings and too many talks in the very early goings of this Tough Enough thing. You know, it's taped and everything, so it might have been after the whole thing that he realized it. But he's been doing a lot of talking about he could still do this, he could still do this, he could still go, he could work the schedule, he's thinking about it, da-da-da-da-da. And a lot of people are saying, well, it would have to be a really big match. It would have to be a really big match. Well, what's a bigger match than WrestleMania? Fucking the 20th fucking show. You got John Cena versus The Rock already signed. You know, The Undertaker versus Steve Austin. You want to talk about old fans. You want to talk about the Attitude Era and getting those fans back. Those two matches alone, fucking nothing more needs to be said, and you're going to get those fans back. So, I think that would
right.
be pretty expectable. But what I was getting to also, as far as missed opportunities in Japan talent, if none of that was on the table with Austin, if they had, like, we really want to do something special, what would be more special than the Great Muta versus The Undertaker, WrestleMania? I mean, it'd be substantial as an icon of Japan and a guy who has worked, you know, has feuded with Sting in the past and has done a lot of different things back in the day in the U.S. Well, that would be such a monumental guys towards the end of their career meeting up at the biggest stage ever for Undertaker's last match. I mean, it, to me, that would be fucking can't miss.
Right.
So. That won't happen.
Yeah. Let's bring Teddy Hart in.
And do what with him?
Have Russell Taker.
You got a better chance of him coming in and getting squashed by Karma.
You have a better chance of seeing anybody.
Big backflip, land on his feet, clothesline to the face.
Maybe you'll see Moxley and Taker. Moxley Taker.
No. Well, Moxley, he is leaving next week. He had fulfilled his last commitment, which was the Evolve show, which I did happen to catch two matches of. The biggest talked about matches. I didn't catch the Moxley match yet, but the two matches I did see that I can very, very much vouch for, that everybody needs to go out there and pick that up and support them, because they're doing a good fucking thing over there. They went to that was that B.B. King's fucking Tuesday show, the whole ridiculous Tuesday show that we talked about at a venue that's really not heard of as a wrestling venue. But, again, Evolve puts on a great product, and they did just that. They had headlining, they had Moxley versus Austin Aries in Moxley's last independent wrestling match. From what I heard, Austin Aries was pretty visibly sick. He was under the weather. He forced through. He worked a good match. But people could tell that he was definitely not feeling well. But, you know, it is John Moxley's last match, and Austin Aries is an incredible competitor. So, very, very good lineup. But I didn't see that match yet. I really can't speak that much about that match. However, I did get the chance to see the two top-rated matches on that card, which were Sami Callihan versus Zack Sabre Jr., which was phenomenal. I can't say enough about these two guys. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of Sami Callihan. And Zack Sabre Jr., I really haven't known much about him until recently. CZW did their tour over there, so I got to see him wrestle Adam Cole on that. He came over here, did the Best of the Best in the WXW show. And he wrestled for Chikara recently at the Trios. And, you know, I got to see all this stuff, and, oh, man, this fucking kid is good. This kid is really fucking good.
Yeah,
just unbelievable. So that was a great match as well. Top high-flying match. Must be seen if you're a fan of the high-flying style. You must check out Evolve 7. And see AR Fox versus Rich Swann. Now, this is a match that me and Eric have been dream match talking about. CZW needs to book. CZW needs to book. Hasn't happened. CZW didn't get it done. So that's fine. You know, a lot of times other companies will capitalize off of lost opportunities. And Evolve did just that. They put on this match, and the match was pretty much fucking flawless. You saw two of the very, very best high flyers in the business.
Yeah, up and coming. Yeah. Like, have you been? So, I mean, they're incredibly young. They're about, what, like Swan's like 19?
Really?
Yeah.
That young, huh?
Yeah, he started in the business when he was 14.
Yeah, I wasn't even aware he's that young, but, oh, my God.
Well, you know what's funny? You know what's funny? Apparently, he's supposed to be, the rumor is that he's supposed to be going, he might be doing that New Japan show.
Oh, that'd be so good, man. I mean, he's so out.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though. He's going to get booked for that New Japan show, but then Fat Frank will announce after that New Japan show that he's not going to even book a show in 2010. So there will be no more Rich Swann. But that's the truth. Apparently, Rich Swann, there's a rumor going around that Rich Swann will be doing the New Japan show. Not a big rumor, but a match. You know, maybe a match.
Well, I would imagine, because the New Japan show runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday, you have the show in Rahway, which I will be attending. That Saturday, I will be attending CZW. Well, that day, they will be running in New York, and that will be the big low-key versus Prince Devitt showdown. So I don't see Rich Swann working that. He's already booked in CZW in such an epic top-book match. In him fighting Alex Colon. So I couldn't see why he would work anything else. But he is already booked. I feel that he will fulfill his commitments, and he will be working CZW that day. So maybe he will be working the Rahway show. But then on Sunday, they're back in the arena in Philly. And maybe he'll be working that show as well. So, I mean, yeah, I hope to see that guy on all three shows. You know, on Friday in Rahway, which I will be at. Saturday in CZW, which I will be at. And Sunday in the arena, which I will not be at. So, I can only do so much, guys. You know, it's pretty crazy. Well,
No, you have to go to all the shows from now on. Every show.
Really? I don't see you as half as many shows as I go to, so maybe you should catch up before you comment.
I go by the philosophy as Fat Frank.
Weren't even going to go to a show in 2010, and, you know?
No, 2011, you know?
Well, no, I'm just saying last year. You went to a few shows last year, and you weren't even going to. So that makes it all better.
Yeah, 2012, it's all about, I'm not even going to go to show. I'm not even going to do a show. Wasn't going to do it.
Well, I think it's about time to take a little break.
Hold on.
And,
let me get my shit ready. Actually, let me get it ready. Okay.
Who's in the chat?
We got Juan, we got Nicole, we got a guest, we got Nina, we got me.
Fantastic. As long as Juan, or as Nicole likes to call him, the slut, is in there, I will grace him with some more Iron Sheik. You do know we have two lined up for tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the choice to pick one of the two, because I'm very entertained by both of them, and we'll play them all both tonight, so... just for you, Juan, and everybody else that enjoys these, hit them with some Iron Sheik.
Come on.
Today, preferably.
Yeah, this one's not playing. What the fuck?
There we go.
That's a different one. I had to play the other one.
You fucking fuck.
Just gonna stand there and hear me cry. That's alright, because I love the way you lie.
Bullshit!
I love the way you lie.
remember fighting the guy, a killer bee, WrestleMania 3. His name was Brian Blair, no, you can't explain it, but he makes you so enraged, go insane, seeing double. Wanna fuck him in his ass and make him humble? You always talk about him, how he's such a nasty faggot, fantasizing how you wanna take him down, cause you're such a crazy Arab, wanna punch, and security pile driver, camel crush him, throw him down, pin him, then take off his trunks and start to fuck him in the ass. He deserves it cause he stole your coat. Such a brony, didn't even give you half, didn't leave you nothing but a gram. That was bullshit. Yeah, man, he must be joking. Now he has a job just because he's blowing Hulk Hogan. But you promised him that you wouldn't make him pay. See him at the indie shows, but he always runs away, and it makes you sad. Now you're sitting there crying like a lady, cause that's why they call you Sheiky Baby. Just
gonna stay. I'm your fucking piece of shit. I'm your numbers, motherfucker. You are a cocksucker, motherfucker. Another little fact, worse than Michael Jackson. Bullshit!
I love the way
facts and bullshit!
Now, Hulk, I know we said things, did things that we didn't mean, and I said that your daughter was a tranny, drag queen, rubbed her down with lotion, and you fucked her. She was just 15, looks like you in makeup and a dress. Okay, that's mean, my bad. I was high on mescaline and speed. Maybe I should not have slapped you with my cock and MSG. Maybe that's what happens when a California meets an Iranian. All I know is when I suplex you, it feels amazing. Come on, Hulk, don't wanna fight, brother, let's stop. Why you wanna boot me in the face and do a leg drop? Choke me till my breath stops. Wind up in a cell block. Listen to me rambling, I'm as coked up as Xbox. Next time, I won't make your son cry. I apologize even to your ugly wife. Okay, I can't do this. I am not sorry, Hogan. You're a punk. If you ever try to fuck with me again,
I can break his fucking back. Break his back, make him humble, and then fuck his ass.
Just wanna
no food, no life. Are you no good motherfucker? Are you in the fucking bullshit? Bullshit! Fucking bullshit!
I love the way you lie.
Fucking bullshit! You
that's another classic.
Slap. I'm not going to talk anymore, I'm done.
Another classic from the Iron Sheik. So, as I started to talk about Evolve before, I got to bring up what they have coming up in May, which I think is a pretty big deal. The way I see it, it looks like a very innovative idea. It's something that I'm pretty excited to see how it pans out. They're going to be running an 8-man tournament, and it's called a style battle. So they're going to have one wrestler representing each style to see what is the superior style in wrestling.
I love that. That's going to be awesome.
And so far, they have 6 out of the 8 guys already signed up. Now, the guys are as follows. AR Fox will be representing the high-flying style. You have Austin Aries representing the hybrid style. Bobby Fish representing the junior heavyweight pursue style. You have Brody Lee representing the super heavyweight. John Davis representing the power. Sammy Callahan representing the hard hitting. 2 spots open. 2 styles left. What will they be? I have no idea. But that will be May 20th at the Ace Arena in Union City, New Jersey. And if you guys are in the area or the date passes and you want to go out there and get a DVD that I believe will definitely be worth watching, I would go pick that shit up.
I thought, oh my God, I was just about to fucking roll on the floor laughing.
Why is that?
Because I thought you were just about to say, even if the date passes and you want to sit outside of the arena, you could.
Yeah, and then you'll know that within that building, the style battle happened. You could just go sit out there and pretend like you're waiting in line.
And then you could say, well, you know, he wasn't going to even run a show that day. You know.
Right. All right. Speaking of tournaments, we do have one this weekend, and that is the Super 8, the prestigious Super 8. See, otherwise known as, to me, the only thing that ECWA does good in a year. So,
yeah.
They will be putting that on, and that, for those who don't know, is a long-running, very, honestly, and I'm not being sarcastic, very prestigious tournament amongst the indies. The company, I mean, I just think the company's shit. I mean, for the most year, you look at their cards, and you haven't heard of 90% of it. But they get a who's who of wrestling every year for their Super Bowl. So, I mean, there's no maybes about it. I really can't support the company on their month-to-month basis. But as far as the Super 8 goes, it's a must-see. It's a yearly must-see tournament as one of the biggest tournaments in the indies for a long time. You know, until Best of the Best came around, there really wasn't a better tournament that showcased the indies than the Super 8. It's been won by, you know, people such as Low Key and Christopher Daniels. And so all these different people, you know, that have been the top indie guys through time. They are going to capitalize on CCW's Best of the Best as well, putting on a rematch of the finals of the Best in the first round in Sami Callihan versus Adam Cole. So
hopefully Adam Cole goes over.
I would hope not. They have a guy named Shockwave the Robot. Not familiar with this guy's work, but
he was in the PWI 500.
That's right. I've heard his name before, but I couldn't remember where, and you just reminded me. So yeah, and I wondered who the fuck he was then, and I still do.
Yeah, you said it on the show.
Yeah,
you're like,
right.
Fuck is Shockwave the Robot? You're like, who the fuck is Shockwave the Robot?
Well, he's a man who is in the Super 8, and he is facing Shima Zion. So,
oh boy, what a fucking, that's going to be a snore fest.
I think Shima's good.
Yeah, Shima's decent. All right.
So, hopefully he can beat a robot, and then we move on. Not sure who Bobby Shields is. You?
He wrestles for, upstate New York versus upstate New York, just like that. But
okay, well, I mean, I haven't gotten a chance to see his work, but he will be taking on Austin Aries.
He's a basic wrestler.
Okay, well, he'll be taking on quite some competition in Austin Aries. So,
What's the tournament that Reggie always says, oh, Davey Rich is going to win that thing?
I don't have that right now. That's the Super J Cup in Japan. I really don't have all the talent, but it's like an A and B bracket. You have your Prince Devitts. You have your Kota Ibushi. You have some top talent in there, and it's not just going to be an easy cakewalk for someone to take that tournament away, especially you know, David Richards, as talented as he is, it's not going to be just that easy because. You know, 16-year-old. No. So anyway, and then the last match in that tournament will be formerly mentioned Rich Swann versus Tommaso Ciampa.
That's going to be a good match. Good match.
Yes, it will. So that's a tournament to look forward to. It is in Voorhees, New Jersey, April 30th. Anybody in the area, go check that out for sure. Some top talent in there. Although I didn't know a few of the people in there. Sami Callihan is self-proclaimed, and I'll vouch for that, the hardest-hitting man on the independent scene, as well as Adam Cole being the world junior heavyweight champion of CCW. Shima Zion, he's a great talent. He's been around for a while. He knows his way around that ring. Definitely knows what he's doing. Austin Aries, the name speaks for himself. He's been all over the place. He's been a top indie guy for a while. Rich Swann being one of the best high-flying wrestlers in the fucking business. And Tommaso, he's a great up-and-coming guy, very powerful. Very strong guy.
Doesn't he do like a powerbomb backbreaker, like a lung blower backbreaker?
Yeah,
deal?
Yes, he does. He's a very, very talented guy. He had a brief little shot in CZW, did a few things there, but really didn't have tons and tons of stuff there. They didn't keep booking him. They booked him a few times, tryout matches or whatever they want to call it. And they kind of moved on from it. But, yeah, I like the guy.
Did you want to see him back in CZW or no?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, I mentioned Tough Enough earlier. So, I got a quick shout-out. My boy, Anthony Missionary Thomas over there at the Wrestling Soup, as well as Joey Numbers. They're not going to be running a show tonight, much like Fat Frank never plans on doing. But,
oh, boy.
You know, they had some reasons. Not really sure about the reasons, but we look forward to everybody want to check out a recap of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Definitely go check them out, wrestling-news.com, or you could just look out, I think, wrestlingsoup.com at this point. They have websites, and they're pretty hooked
but
up.
How about Fat Frank isn't going to run a show in 2010,
.com.
Yeah,
oh, that's possibly a website too. But as far as check those guys out, the only reason I'm plugging them right this second is because I got to use Mish's name for that Rima chick that's the Miss USA in saying, yeah, he calls her Rim Job. So Rim Job got eliminated this week. After M-Dog, of course. You know, M-Dog
who?
Wasn't fit to be there.
Who got released? Who fucks that?
Rim Job. She's her name is Rima. She was Miss USA. She asked for special help last week. She wanted side training. She wanted someone to help her out on the side, and she thought that was just gonna be like, oh, she wants a study buddy. She wants some after school training. She wants a tutor. Oh, let's just give her credit for asking because she surely wants that. No, she got fucking Bill DeMont in the ring, and he wasn't too happy about it. He fucking slammed the shit out of her a bunch of times, tried to get her to fucking roll over a dummy. She couldn't do any of the shit. She fucking just got her ass bounced off the fucking ring a bunch of times and barely peeled herself up and kept going. And, did have a fucking... Did half a little fucking stripper dance in the fucking club that they went to in front of a bunch of fucking old people. Now, she didn't get naked or anything, but she acted like, the half a hoarded she is, because that's really all she's worth. I mean, some of these chicks, they just think, I'm pretty, I would love to be eye candy on TV. Well, going through this training, that's not what's going to go down. They're going to beat your fucking ass. You're going to take a shitload of bumps. You're going to learn how to hit the ropes. You're going to do a lot of agility training. You're going to be doing a lot of fucking
right.
A lot of things to make
you need
sure
to be
that
ready.
You belong there.
Yeah, you need to be prepared to be in the ring. The ring's a tough atmosphere to be in. You know, from what most people have said, you know, it's no gimmick. You know, it's a ring.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And although some of these chicks look completely worthless in the WWE, they had to run through some tough shit to get there. I'm sure. Of course, not all. Some get a pass. Snooki. Those type of things.
Some get a pass, a.k.a. give blowjob to Triple H or Vince.
Sure.
Anyway.
But no, honestly, I'm sure no chicks listen to the show, but, other than our regulars, which, Nicole, who's very, very knowledged on the business, being about to be married to one of the top deathmatch wrestlers in the country. And absolutely, Mr. Insanity. And, he does so many other things well as well. He's able to work a lot of different styles. So, she's very knowledgeable about the business. And
technical wrestler. Yeah. Can't talk.
Nina hears me yell about shit for fucking far too many hours not to know better. So, you know, those people aside, in case there were other chicks that randomly listened to this, the wrestling ring, the wrestling business is not an extension of any sort of runway. Even though the ramp to the ring may look like a runway to you, that you can come out in something cute and do a few poses and stuff, it's probably going to take a shitload more than that. And if that's all you're looking for, you're going to get booed out of every fucking building. You're going to hurt yourself badly. You could probably never try it.
They're going to laugh at her. They're going to laugh at them.
Right. And that's just what my, you know, opinion on it is, because there's too many fucking talented female wrestlers out there that have to leap the hurdle of just fucking faces, just nothing but just cardboard cutouts of wrestlers. They're just not, they're not even close. I mean, you got your Sarah Del Reyes, you know, you got your Jessica Havocs, you got your Mercedes Martinez, you have your Lufistos, you have, you know, your Arasim Kongs, your Karma, you have, I mean, so many chicks out there that can wrestle their fucking ass off, that you got these chicks that just, I just won Miss USA. You know what? I'm going to be a wrestler now and look cute on TV. Well, I hope you separated a fucking vertebrae during the training. And that's just my own devious mind. But I hope you walked away with something that hurts you for a long fucking time to remember that it's not a fucking runway. And I get really annoyed and I want to change the fucking channel I'm watching when I see that shit integrated into wrestling, which I love. You know what I mean? So that's just me. But, yeah. What else? What else do I have to whine about? Another thing I wanted to bring up while I was talking about the WWE a little bit, because I just bounced back to that. I had heard that there's difficulty with CM Punk signing a new contract. I had heard that he was offered a new contract recently and that he turned it down. And that he wants more money, he wants things to go his way, he's not getting the push he wants, blah, 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 blah. Listen, I don't know all the specifics about what goes on backstage. I understand that he is busting his ass. He has a huge, huge workload. He is definitely working a lot of days. He's working house shows. He's working TV. He's working pay-per-view. He's working a lot. I know this. I know that that's no bullshit. His contract is up in a few months, and I would hate it more than fucking anything to see him leave that company, because in my opinion, he's the best heel that they have and have had in a while. His promos are just fucking beyond. I'm so happy with seeing the way that he's progressed into that company. I, you know, enjoyed his work, but I was not the biggest CM Punk fan on the indies. You know, I watched his feud with Raven in Ring of Honor. I was going to Ring of Honor more frequently back then, and I thought it was a great feud. Probably my favorite thing that I saw of him on the indies. His matches with AJ Styles were really good, too. He had a lot of good matches with Joe, you know, a lot of different things in Ring of Honor. They were doing big things with him. But he wasn't my favorite indie guy. Since he joined the WWE and progressed his character, he's become my favorite heel. And he's been given the world title. Of course, he did work hard for it, everything like that, a couple times. He's still has his face on TV in big angles. Now, he might not be on every main event. From what I hear, he is upset about how fast Alberto Del Rio got pushed. He's upset with how fast The Miz got pushed. Well, I understand that. However, he did not get a huge demotion. This guy's not on fucking... he's not a curtain jerker. He's not fucking opening the shows. They're not putting him on dark matches like they're doing Bryan Danielson. They're not putting him on dark matches like they even did Sheamus on WrestleMania. Like, this dude is still getting a great amount of spotlight. I really, really wish he can get over whatever hurdles he has. If he can balk and get himself some more money and a little bit better of a story for himself, great. I really, really would hate to see this guy burn a fucking bridge there over whatever's going on, because honestly, I don't think he's getting that bad of a deal. I just don't. there are a million guys that would love to have the fucking amount of exposure and TV time and even push that he has. And I would hate to see him give that up. Oh, God, I would hate to see him give that up. So that's just my feelings on that. I mean, what do you think, Eric? Eric?
Like, no, like I was saying before, so I keep cutting the microphone. But I think CM Punk is extremely talented, and I think they would lose a very good wrestler. How about this? How about this for one? How about Jay? You haven't checked Facebook in like 20 minutes.
Right.
Reggie Tiller posted in, "Hey, check out this show, guys. Yakuza Kick Radio."
How nice. You know what? Just for that, let me talk a little, Reggie, and play what I have. And that is, okay, poor Reggie, our friend, we had the guy on a show a few times. We played his clips a few times. He's a pretty hilarious dude. He's a 16-year-old dude. He's a pretty passionate about wrestling guy. All of you who know Reggie, you know what he's about. You know what to expect out of Reggie. He had an internet radio show with this retarded British kid, or whatever the fuck he is, and they're still doing it, whatever. But, you know, Reggie tried to get involved with this guy, and he really wanted to push the indies. And the retarded British kid was just saying silly, silly things, such as DJ Hyde is finally bringing respect to CCW after Zandig put such a bad name on it. And to my knowledge, this kid is 14 years old that he did the show with. So it's really sad to hear people comment when they weren't fucking alive. You know, like, they were barely fucking breathing and fucking walking and not shitting themselves when CZW was doing their fucking heyday. When I first started going to CZW, this fucking kid was still shitting himself. I find it hard to fucking believe that people can come out of their face with dumb shit like that. Well, however, you know, Reggie hung in there. This kid continued to just play WWE commercials and tell Reggie he didn't know what he was doing, and he pushed Reggie off and gave Reggie less and less time to talk, and I thought it was wrong. I mean, both of them are young guys, and, you know, they have a lot to learn in the radio, I don't want to say business, because none of us make money doing this shit, it's just for fun, but, you know, he kind of got a raw deal on it. The guy more or less told him from the start that it was a partnership, and it was never a partnership. This kid was running the show and told Reggie to fuck off. In nicer words, he told him to fuck off if Reggie wanted to add some kind of creative, you know, influence on the show. Well, just last week, he told Reggie, "You're fired from the show," which is, again, hilarious when you don't get paid from something and you get fired. So Reggie's no longer welcome to be on that show, which I just, you know,
fucked up.
The only reason I checked out the show was because, you know, I'm cool with Reggie. You know, he's a pretty fucking hilarious kid. You will see the height of his hilarity in just a few seconds. And I don't know, man. I just thought it was shitty. This other kid, I mean, whatever, man. I just don't understand. I had no reason to listen to his show other than the fact that, you know, I talked to Reggie, and he tries to promote the shit out of it. He'll jam it down your fucking throat on Facebook. If you fucking add this guy as a friend, prepare yourself for fucking 25 messages about the same shit every day, you know? Because that's how fucking intense he is. You know, he means his shit. He'll drill it into your fucking head until you can't do anything else, you know? So, might not be the best way to go about things, but this is what he does. So, you know, I give him credit, man. He's got quite a bit of passion on him, this little guy, you know? So, anyway, he started this thing. He's big on the YouTube. He's a fucking maniac on the YouTube. And he started this new thing, Mr. Advice. Now, if you guys would do me a huge favor, send Reggie questions. Just let him answer your fucking questions, please. ReggieKiller100 is his name on YouTube. And that's ReggieKiller100 on YouTube. Private message him on YouTube and ask him some fucking questions. And he's got this thing called Mr. Advice. And I figured I'd let Eric play this gem. And you can see what you have to look forward to if you do ask him some phenomenal questions. And hopefully we can get another one of these clips to play on the show. So let her rip, Eric.
Welcome to Mr. Advice, where I will be answering your questions, all right? Let's get on to the first question. Okay, this is from I'd Rather Be Dead. Hey, Reggie, the other week, I done a romantic dinner for me and my girlfriend. Anyway, you know how it goes, dinner, etc., etc. Anyway, we got in bed, she went to sleep, I was PO'd because I wanted to have sex, so I banged my girlfriend's teddy bear. Now I have an obsession about teddy bears. Like yesterday, I had sex with 4 teddy bears at once on my bed. I don't know what's wrong with me. Please help, Reggie. I want to know if it's normal. If it ain't, what can I do? I'd rather be dead. Let me see. Is it normal? No, it ain't normal having sex with teddy bears, bro. You having sex with my God. Teddy bears, bro? Teddy bears? Are you serious? I mean, teddy bears? It can't do nothing. It's freaking fluff and cotton balls. Nah, man. If she ain't giving you sex, bro, here's the best plan. Dump her, find another girl that will give it to you. And, I don't recommend this, but prostitutes, okay? Question number two. From Daniel G. Xbox. Bone Duster. Okay. Hi. I saw your vid and I wanted to ask you a question about the Bone Duster. Question, how did you and Bone Duster become friends on YouTube and Facebook? Well, we became friends. See, this guy made a burial video of me with the wonky eye, you know, and it failed miserably.
Hey, did you lose the clip? What's going on? Eric.
Yeah, I don't know why I lost the clip. It's supposed to be playing.
Huh.
I don't know what the fuck that was about.
Is it what's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on with that.
Is it loading or what is going on?
Nah, it's not even fucking loading.
Huh. Well,
give me 1 second. Give me 1 second, all right?
Yeah. Well, let's see if Eric gets fixed.
Let me try this one. Did we play this one yet? Did we play Iron?
Play what? What?
All right.
Don't skip to another clip. What are you doing?
No. The switchboard's acting up again.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
None of these fucking things are playing. None of these fucking shit. Again. All right.
As I previously mentioned, that is Reggie Taylor. I'm glad that we got off the beginning because honestly, the teddy bear shit is the funniest shit about the whole entire clip. Every time that it hits dead air, you've got to see the look on his face. Like, it sounds real awkward on the audio. You've got to see the look on this fucking guy's face every time it hits dead air. Because, like, he's processing what the fuck is going on in front of him. and you can see it in his face, and it's fucking funnier than the shit he's saying. I mean, you gotta look, man. This guy is a fucking YouTube monster. And, yeah, it's pretty awesome. Definitely, like I said, check out Reggie Tiller 100 on YouTube, and you can watch that whole clip uncut and see all sorts of facial expressions that you can never, ever hear. When he sees that shit about the teddy bear, he loses his fucking mind, man. Like, you just see it. His life just changed when he read that teddy bear shit. So, it's pretty fucking hilarious. Off of that, another thing I did get a chance to see most of, not finished with it yet, but is the King of Trios, which Eddie Kingston had mentioned some stuff about when he came on last week for the Larry Sweeney tribute, and everything I heard about his match on night two with Eric Cannon was probably an understatement. I mean, these two fucked each other the fuck up. Cannon hit one of his finishers off the guardrail onto the floor, onto the concrete floor on Kingston. They hit each other with some brutal, brutal forearms. I mean, they really beat the shit out of each other. And, you could see Eddie Kingston, in the height of his emotional, the way he is emotionally, and came out with Larry Sweeney t-shirt on, hung it up on the ring after the match, hung it on the ropes in tribute, and you could see, the tears were flowing. He was hugely emotional, and rightfully so. And he put out everything in that match and really gave great, great tribute. As he said, the rest of his career is going to be dedicated to Larry Sweeney. So, yeah, that's the type of business that we got to look forward to. I mean, you guys got to tune into what Eddie Kingston's doing, because he's pouring his fucking heart into that fucking ring.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Hey, DJ, I know you listen to the show. Bring back Eddie Kingston. Do it. Stop being a fucking pussy about it. Just do it. Bring back Kingston.
Right.
I agree.
Kingston is a very, very emotional dude. He's a very passionate dude. So, at times he might not work out with certain people. You know what I mean?
Fuck it. Bring back B-Boy, too. Come on. Not playing bullshit games.
Well, that could go either way. I mean, that may or may not have been B-Boy's fault. I really don't know. I'm not at the point where I can really judge that the right way. I can't say it is or isn't his fault. I can't say it is or isn't DJ's fault. There's two sides to that story, and I'm not really sure which side to go on with that. But, like I said,
And the third person I want back, and it will make me happy, is Billy Graham. Bring him back.
Definitely. I co-sign the shit out of that. Definitely
B-Boy,
bring back Billy Graham.
And Billy Graham. Bring them all back.
Bring back Billy Graham and Cult Fiction immediately. That's a must. They're a huge, intended, cult following. You've seen the t-shirts in the crowd month in and month out. These guys haven't been there since Cage of Death, and you still see the t-shirts in the crowd. So what's that tell you, DJ? How many of your shirts you see in the crowd? How many other wrestler-specific shirts do you see in the crowd?
Not much.
Let's be 100% real. Bring Cult Fiction back to CZW immediately. So, yeah, that's that. But King of Trios, from what I saw, because I didn't get a chance to see it all, one thing I did make sure I saw first, because a lot of people were ranting and raving about it, and the train wreck that X-Pac has been over the past couple of years, and the terrible things that you've heard about him, all the good stuff that you heard about him on that past weekend's King of Trios was 100% true. He went out there, and I don't think he could even believe the response that he was getting out there with that crowd. I don't think he's seen that in his career in years. He got over well. He worked really hard. He worked some of the top indies guys. I mean, he worked El Generico. He worked Frightmare. He was in there with some of the top guys in the indies, and he definitely worked well. You didn't get a chance to see that yet, did you, Eric?
I saw night one, but I didn't see any of night two or night three.
Well, those are the two nights you're going to look for the X-Pac matches that I'm speaking of.
Have you seen his match with Generico yet?
Yes, I did. I actually watched that last night.
Don't spoil
it.
Don't spoil it.
Why would you ask me about it?
Okay.
That's a really good match. Really, really good match. I don't think he's seen some of those high-impact moves for a long time in the business, so... Very good. Very, very good.
Yeah, I'll get a chance to watch it when I get a chance, you know?
Yeah, everybody go out there and buy all three shows of the King of Trios. Smart Mark Video, check them out. They do very fast shipping.
They do very, very good business
over there. They have great quality. One of the best quality DVDs on the indie scene. So definitely check them out. Go get the King of Trios. Check Evolve out, get their DVDs. They got that. They did an internet pay-per-view thing, so I was able to see them pretty early. That was a good thing. So what else you got?
Especially this fucking stupid ass computer sound acting up big time.
What's
I have
that?
Nothing. I said, besides the computer acting like a piece of shit tonight, I have nothing really left
to
say.
I have a few more stuff to get over, but I'm going to run inside real quick, and I'll play a clip off the computer like I did last week. And then I'll come back out and I'll see what else I have lined up, see how that goes. Just give me 1 second. All right, so I'm just going to get on my YouTube over here and hang with us, because the switchboard is a fucking bitch. So fuck that switchboard in the face, and let me just get on here. Take a second, let me see... You go ahead and talk, Eric.
Okay. But yeah, everybody check out all three nights at King of Trios, smartmarkvideo.com, and, put some money into your car's pocket, as a lot of people like to do. They had a really good, really good show from the reviews that I read, and hopefully they just keep up the good work, because they've been on fire with putting out good shows, and it's just they're finally getting their recognition that they deserved. A lot of people only say Chikara, Lucha Libre, and that's it. No, look at King of Trios. They put on technical, they put on high flying, they put on good wrestling, Lucha Libre and shit like that.
Yep. I like to call them Halloween at times.
Yeah. You like to call Halloween.
Right.
Halloween.
Well,
Halloween. Yeah, what do you call Fat Frank?
I call him
You gotta call him Santa Claus, because he only comes out once a year.
That's pretty good. So, I'm going to see if I could play that second Iron Sheik clip that we had lined up, but then it just didn't work out because, the switchboard is a bitch. I'm just going to give it another second to load up, get it all ready, and then we'll go from there. I'll try to play that. Maybe I'll be able to get the rest of the Reggie thing in, but I'm not really sure. Kind of unexpected. I'm going to try to make extra provisions for next week, so we know that we're completely golden on next week's clips, because it's getting a little repetitive. So, without further ado, let's see how this works. On the speaker, we'll play that Iron Sheik song that I didn't get to play yet.
You can't be the gold medal. Hey, you champion or a Sheik. You can't be the cold angel. You can't be the dangerous. Remember, you are a cocksucker motherfucker. I can beat the fuck out of you with one of my little finger. Remember, you are no good motherfucker. I hate you the rest of my life.
I will show you my gold medal. All I'm going to tell you, none of them have gold medal except Mr. Kurt Angel. Because
you suck, dead US. You suck, Dustin Rose. You suck, Randy Savage. You suck,
Bill Gold.
You suck, Rambler. You suck.
All the lights are going to
You suck.
Don Maloney.
You suck. What was his name? You suck. 30 cents. You suck.
Under the joint.
You suck.
Fabulous Moolah.
You suck.
General.
You suck. You suck. You suck. You suck.
This fucker should be hard.
You suck.
Son of a bitch. Break your mind.
Because
I fucked your wife like that.
I'm a Muslim, some call it too many divorce. Maybe you're gonna have a good time tonight. Ask me this, man.
She can give me, I love you, but I am the man with a 10-inch cock.
I have breath of darkness.
Chapter 8.
You have entered the zip for me.
I love you, dear. Thank you.
I fuck his ass. Ah, I stop.
Yes, another great song by the Iron Sheik. And again, I hope it came off well, you know, through the speaker of the computer, because there's only so much I can do. How did it sound, Eric? 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 Are you there, Eric? Going once. Well, I don't know what's going on with Eric. I hope that it came through well for everybody. Eric, anytime you want to chime in, that would be perfectly fine. I don't know if you have the mic muted again or what's going on. Eric. Right. So anyway, speaking of, I had mentioned Billy Graham before. Last night, they ran another, there was an internet wrestling radio show that they ran. It's called The Real Side of Wrestling. And their guest last night was Billy Graham. I was only able to tune in to the last, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes of it. And Billy Graham is always a great guest. So I knew that it was going to be nothing short of that. Unfortunately, I didn't listen to the whole thing. I will be archiving it, as I expect all of you to do. You know, because our friend Billy Graham is definitely worth a listen anywhere he is. And our new friends over at The Real Side of Wrestling, you can check them out anytime, and that would be, let me see what their link is. They have a website. They go on Blog Talk Radio as a secondary. Their host is John R. Gray, and it's realsidemedia.com. And you can also go on Blog Talk Radio / Real Side Media, blogtalkradio.com/ Real Side Media, and check out what they did with Billy Graham. Check out what they do weekly. They do a great show. You check them out. They're going to be a new cohort of us, and we're going to, you know, try to promote them and vice versa. You know, they gave us a great shout out last night. They had our boy Billy on, and I can't tell you guys enough. Go check them out. As always, check out our boys over at Wrestling Soup. And they weren't able to run a show tonight. I'm not really sure why. Not very happy about it. But bottom line is, check them out normally on Thursdays. And, you know, they start during our show. You know, it's like a 10 o'clock thing. So, honestly, I would encourage you guys to check them out on the archive, or if you do check them out live, please check us out on the archive. You know, don't skip out on us completely, because we point you towards a great show such as Wrestling Soup. They do a great job. They will be doing a wrap-up on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view immediately following the Extreme Rules pay-per-view at I believe it's WrestlingSoup.com. also wrestling-news.com, you can easily link into the chat room and find your link right there. I believe they have a link on Ustream and several other things. They got a lot of stuff going on that we don't have the privilege to be doing right now. So check them out. They're a high, high quality show. Are you there yet, Eric? Eric. Interesting. So, more or less, guess I'll say a few more things, and I'll wrap this up, because I think Derek moved out of the country. He may be fighting terrorists as we speak. So big shout out to Eric. I will be attending, like I said, the New Japan show. That will be the Friday. Of course, I'm going to be promoting this shit again before it happens because it's not next weekend. But what is this weekend is a Super 8. Go check that out in Voorhees, New Jersey. Go check out all the DVDs I had mentioned previously. Like I said, that three-day experience that New Japan is doing from Jersey to New York to Philly, all of them are going to be worth seeing. New York has a Prince Devitt versus Low Key Dream match signed up. And I recommend everybody go out there and check that out. We got a lot of really, really good stuff coming up indie-wise, and we will continue to promote it. You can definitely check us out next Thursday, without question. We will be back 9 p.m. Eastern Time. www.blogtalkradio.com/YKR online. We will be here every week without fail. We're going to have to work out these technical difficulties and Eric disappearing. I'm going to put out, I'll have Eric's face on a milk carton tomorrow morning, and hopefully someone can phone in when they do see him in public. You know, it's going to be like a Where's Waldo for our show. Where's Eric Williams? And we're going to do that. We're going to get everybody involved. It's going to be a big, fun thing. Maybe we'll come up with a contest, and then whoever finds Eric for me, we'll throw him a gift. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, we're going to see how far this goes. But as for today, I pretty much think I got to close out because I can only have so much conversation with myself. I hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. I think we talked about quite a few topics. We got over a few things. I'm hoping I plugged everybody I was supposed to plug. I'm pretty sure I did. I'm going to leave you guys out on that note. If Eric's still on the line and unconscious or whatever the case may be, when you wake up, please hang up. Close the show, play the music, you know, something along these lines. However, for Eric Williams, I am J. Cat Morris. We'll see you next Thursday on Yakuza Kick Radio. Peace.